Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know.
Welcome into the Deuce and Mo podcast. Game 82 of 82 is done. The Kings wrap up the regular season portion of the schedule with a win over the Blazers 121-82, finishing the season at 46-36. They had goals of being a top six team but couldn't get it done. Now they go the play-in routes. We didn't know how it was going to go today. Could they get into the eight spot? Nah. The Pelicans didn't help them. The Lakers clapped the Pels. So it's Lakers-Pelicans in that 7-8 matchup, which brings us to what's happening Tuesday night in the capital city. In Sacramento at Golden One Center, Kings, Warriors, 9-10 NBA play-in tournament. The winner advances to take on the loser of 7-8. And then whoever wins that game gets into the NBA playoffs for a first-round matchup with the OKC Thunder. I'm Deuce Mason. That's Morgan Reagan. This podcast presented, as always, by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors. Check out TrustNorthwest.com. How are you doing, Mo?
I'm good. I feel great on this Sunday. You know, again, it's not because the Kings beat the Portland Trail Blazers. It's truly just a fun day in the NBA and seeing a lot of different things move around. And once you find out that the Sacramento Kings are taking on the Golden State Warriors just to have an opportunity, a chance to get into the playoffs, into the postseason, you go, well, here's another test. Here's another opportunity for you to, like, try and do something about it. There's so much to go over with this game that hasn't even been played that it's wild. It is just wild to think about how these seasons have formed for these two teams and now where those two teams are at after 82 games.
Golden State finished 46-36. Sacramento finished 46-36. Kings had the tiebreaker, so that's why they would be hosting this game in Sacramento Tuesday night, 7 p.m. on TNT. Look, this was a situation that I think every Kings fan wanted to avoid. Mm-hmm. You did not want to be in a 9-10 matchup because now you have to win two just to get in the playoffs. And the route is a daunting one. You start with the Warriors. Okay, you win that game. Then you have to go on the road to either L.A. and beat a Lakers team that you've dominated this year, but it's also the Lakers with LeBron and AD, or you go to the Big Easy, and nothing's been easy there for Sacramento. The Pelicans have beat the Kings five times this year. So then you'd have to win that game to advance. It's going to be tough, but guess what? This is the situation, and you have to focus on what is in front of you, and that is a rematch with the Golden State Warriors, who ended your season last year in your house in Game 7 when Steph dropped 50. Then the home opener, Warriors-Kings. Uh-huh. Warriors won that game. The two teams played four times this year. It was split 2-2, but they haven't played since January 25th. And my take on this is pretty simple. Both teams are very different. I think the Kings are bad different. And the Warriors are better and different.
Mm-hmm. Explain.
Malik Monk's not here. Yep. Kevin Huerter's not here. You're going to have to rely on your stars to be stars. Fox and Sabonis have to be elite level, and then you need someone else to be pretty damn good. The defense has to be locked in. You got to get some production off the bench. This is tough. This is going to be a really, really tough matchup. And that's just on paper. Then you start digging deeper and going, this is just a team that's just been through it. They've done it. They've got some new ingredients.
There we go. talk about the new, because the good different. You just said bad different Kings, good different Warriors. What's the good different for the Warriors?
Trayce Jackson-Davis is starting for them.
There you go.
You know, he wasn't much of a factor. He's played two of those games this year for the Golden State Warriors. You know, last year, Domantas Sabonis got to know Kevon Looney a lot. He's not playing a ton right now, but they could still go to him. Trayce Jackson-Davis has given them a little more athleticism. A guy who moves pretty well, who can block some shots, who has gone toe-to-toe with some pretty good players. He's been a nice lift for them off the bench. You still have Steph. Klay's come on. He, after a really sluggish start, seems like he is playing good basketball. They got the Draymond Green suspension drama all over with. Golden State is playing their best basketball right now.
Yeah.
And the Kings finished the year losers of 5 of 7, just fighting to get through games, losing some big leads. This is going to be tough. But it's one game.
It's one game.
Anything can happen, baby. And you got to embrace it.
It's not impossible. And, you know, it is exactly what you said, though. Like, looking at last year and looking at a Kings team that was pretty healthy, besides people playing through broken fingers and all those things, but pretty healthy and really had a nice groove, a historically, amazing offensive season, couldn't play defense, but really figured out what their niche was, right? And it was a fight. It was a battle. It was entertainment. It was all the things last season in that playoff series. Now, like you said, you got two teams that look completely different, pretty much different, and it's one game.
Yeah, they're... Golden State, different, but still the main stars are there.
Yes.
Steph is still there.
Yes.
Klay's doing his thing. You still got Wiggins. You got Draymond, but you add in some a Pajumski into the mix.
Yep, and a Moody, and you know anyone
GP2's
else.
GP2's back.
Yes, and I think the other thing that I want to make the point across, get this point across, was last year, one of the main things the question we would ask, what about the mileage? You know, they got the experience, but can we talk about the mileage? Can the Kings run them to the ground? This is one game. This one game, to me, a lot of experience is what's going to matter in one win-or-go-home type game. And the Kings, not only are they missing bodies, the bodies that they do have don't have the experience of these types of games. Keon Ellis, he didn't play last year in the postseason.
Keon Ellis, and that's probably the one for me who's an X factor in this series, because played in one game against the Warriors this year.
Yep.
5 minutes in one game. Keon Ellis and what he has brought defensively this year, and now you could see him as the games go on get more comfortable offensively. But defensively, to have him out there, I think is a huge benefit to the Sacramento Kings going up against this tough Warriors team that has the shooting, the off-ball movement. You need guys to throw at Steph. The Kings threw a lot of Keegan Murray at Steph. Had some success, but Steph still is able to do his thing at times. Now you have another guy to throw at Steph Curry. And that's what you have to do in literally a win or go home game.
Yeah. It's fun thinking about all the challenges that the Sacramento Kings will have. And when I say it's fun, all I mean is, like, look, you got to show how resilient you can actually be. They would have those moments of showing resiliency and being that type of team. But where are they going to be when adversity has hit them most and it's a play-in game and you do not get another chance? You are done for the entire season if you do not play your best basketball in that game. And like you said, it's going to start with guys like Domas and De'Aaron. And De'Aaron is someone who also took a leap defensively this year.
Oh, my
God.
So
we keep talking about what a clutch player and what he was doing on the offensive end last year, what he's been able to do defensively this year. And I know Willsey put out some stats about him and his steals and everything that he's been doing in that category, and is now officially leads the league in steals after SGA did not have a steal today. They were, like, pretty much just tied right there. So again, this is a guy that gets his hands up. The activity has been so different. And what type of force are you going to see from him in a win or go home type game?
Well, Fox had three steals today against the Blazers. He became the fourth player in franchise history to reach 150 steals in a season, joining Brian Taylor. We don't count it because that was pre-Sacramento. Phil Ford, don't count it, pre-Sacramento. And Doug Christie, who did that four times. Fox is also near the top of the NBA in deflections. So, yeah, I mean, that's when you look at the pluses right now for Sacramento is they've been playing some better defense. And the defense has been even better now that Keon Ellis is in the starting lineup. Keegan Murray has developed. Last year in that Warrior series, he was not a good defender. He had moments late in the series, but Keegan Murray, comparing his game now to what it was this year, he's a different player, mm-hmm. right? He can do more defensively. He's got a little more versatility. Keon Ellis, this guy was a two-way player last year. Wasn't even thought of, right? We didn't think we'd be talking about Keon Ellis being an X factor against the Golden State Warriors in a play-in game. I can tell you that. But he is. And this is a guy that's come in instantly. And with his active hands, his length, he bugs guys. He's good with closeouts. He makes sure to defending closeouts can be tough, right? You can get caught. You hit a guy. How many times have we seen a Kings player close out too hard and foul a three-point shooter or not close out the right way? Keon Ellis has textbook closeouts, right? He is so active. He moves well, smart, plays the passing lanes. I think it could be huge in this game.
Yeah, and I think something else that you have to look at because you're talking about all these different closeouts and what Keon Ellis can do. Now, we have also seen Keon Ellis get in foul trouble early against some of these star players out here.
That's going to be something to watch for sure.
And I think what that has to do with, though, too, is understanding the personnel of the officiating crew, right? And I know you go, like, that matters. Yes, it absolutely matters. If you know, one, if one might have a certain feeling about you because you might have some words to say to them throughout the season, and or one might just seem like they have their biases towards certain stars, then, or one might even feel like that something that is deemed a foul isn't going to be a foul in their eyes, especially when it starts to become play in postseason type games. Like, get that feel down. You got to get that feel down because you don't want to regret anything. So that's why you want to remain physical, and I want to see that. But Steph Curry, the way that these guys are going to have to be on him and start on him very physical, even if you get one or two fouls early on, at least you have a list of guys that you could still go down with: Keon, Davion, De'Aaron, Keegan. And I say those guys not all being on the floor at the same time. I'm more just talking about within rotation if anyone does get in foul trouble because of Steph Curry.
And you have to make Steph work. Since the All-Star break, his numbers have dropped. But, you know, perspective. Oh, like, right?
Yeah.
Since the All-Star break, averaging 23 points per game, 38% from three-point land. But, like, let's call it the way it is. Since January 1st, the Warriors are 31-19. Since the All-Star break, they're 19-10. And for them to play pretty competent basketball during that stretch, much better defensively during that stretch. I believe right around 6 in defensive rating since the All-Star break. It's good that, hey, Steph hasn't been able to have some of those monster scoring games, but it's almost good in a way. Like,
sure,
let some other guys help out. Bring it defensively, and that's what they've done. And with all that said, we mentioned those records since January 1st and since the All-Star break. It got him to 10th in the West, which is just crazy. It's crazy to think about. As far as these matchups go, these two teams have played four times. We saw them play October 27th in Sacramento, November 1st, and November 28th. That November 1st one was in San Francisco. The 28th was in Sacramento, and then they last played January 25th. Yes, they played three times before the end of November. Mm-hmm. The last time, January 25th. The matchups split 2-2 this year, but three of the four games have been decided by 1 point. 1 point. You go back to opening night. Warriors won that game, the Kings home opener, 122-114. November 1st, the Kings did not have De'Aaron Fox. They went on the road. I thought Sabonis had the game winner. It was almost poetic, a mid-range shot for the win. But Klay Thompson broke Kings fans' hearts when he hit a jumper over Davion Mitchell. They won 102-101. The next matchup, just a few weeks later in Sacramento, was the in-season tournament game.
Ugh.
The Kings were down 24 points in that game. They rallied back. Some late miscues and bad turnovers by the Golden State Warriors got Sacramento back in the game. They chipped away, and Malik Monk hit some crazy-ass shot that ended up being the game winner, and they won 124 to 123. And the last matchup in San Francisco, the Kings won 134 to 133, a game in which Harrison Barnes had 39 points and a monster block late. That's what this has been this season between the Kings and the Warriors. Do we expect anything different?
No.
Like, I'm going in this game going, it's probably going to be a tight game. How much can you take away? I know we talked about the different pieces. Do you take anything away from the four matchups? Or is it like, you know what? That was so long ago. That would be like taking something away from last playoffs. Like, this is different teams, different personnel.
Yep.
It's completely different.
That's where I'm at. It's completely different in my eyes. I was talking to Deuce about this before we started the podcast, and I was thinking about all the lulls, like the negative lulls that we've seen the Kings have in some of these games where they go down big or they're up big and then they go down. It never really feels safe. Like, that happens a lot. And I said, this game that we're going to see in the play-in, there can't be the lulls.
Oh, man.
If anything, you want to see the neck and neck type game, because that's when you know the Kings are playing some good, consistent basketball. Like, even if the Warriors were to go down big and the Kings were up, that to me is the worst place to be.
Yeah, we've seen that just this last week. Yeah. Hey, in New York, you're up 20. OKC, you're cruising.
Like, if you're up 20, like, start giving them the basketball, okay? Just be like, no, we can't be here. We can't go up 20. Kidding, obviously. But my whole point to this is, it's like, there is no, like, oh, we can have good moments here, bad moments here, good moments here. No. Four quarters of consistent basketball, and whatever type of style of consistent basketball that means, like, that has to happen within your game plan. And one extra thing I want to say, Chelsea Gray said this post game, and I love this. She's like, you know, in a playoff series, you get to next game, see adjustments. Next game, make your adjustments. Oh, no. She goes, you got to be able to make your in-game adjustments no matter what quarter it is, no matter what player it is, no matter what defensive scheme you're trying to accomplish. You got to be able to make it in-game.
And to that point, just real fast, that's why it's so interesting that the Lakers and Pelicans matched up today in New Orleans, and then they play again in the play-in. So they have an opportunity to make some tweaks relatively fast.
Yeah.
And that game is in New Orleans. So that's going to be an interesting subplot to watch there. But this one, you don't have that. You haven't seen this team in months and months and months. And two of your key pieces that have been essential to what you've done offensively, Malik Monk being number one, and then Kevin Huerter, they're not available. Unless, can Malik Monk, like, make a surprise entrance? I know it's not WWE, but can you imagine if, like, some entrance music hit, like some Stone Cold, like, you hear glass air, and here comes Malik Monk. Oh, my God! Hey, he's here! Or he comes out in crutches and just throws him off, undoes, like, a knee thing, and it's like, checks into the game.
So when would that happen, though? Would that happen, like, during starting lineups, like, they name everybody, and they go, oh, no, wait. Ladies and gentlemen, there's been an adjustment in now, the starting lineup.
Just from a legal standpoint, with the game.
Oh, yeah, you can't do but still,
you don't have to do is when the players come out, maybe, you know, for warm-ups.
Okay.
And then, oh, he doesn't come out, and then it goes dark. They turn off the light. And it's like, what's happening?
Very AEW of you. Yeah.
What the hell's happening? And you hear, da-na-da-na-na-na.
Give me a hell yeah.
Da-na-da-na-na-na. Oh, my God. Malik Monk's playing. I wish you could do surprises like that in NBA.
But you can't. All right, Mr. WWE. I know you want to finish the story. Okay. We're Cody Rhodes, all this shit. But
the Warriors are the final boss.
They're always the final boss.
They are the Brahma Bull. They're the Rock. Kings are Cody. They're going up against the tribal chief and the final boss. And to do it, they're going to have to get over a ton of things. Maybe some bad calls. That's the bloodline, right? The bloodline's coming out. The refs are the bloodline. You have to be ready to go.
I love that.
And then you got to drop like four crossroads in a row. One, two, three.
Yeah. Well, really quick too, because you do talk about like the officiating for a second. You're playing a star team.
You know what?
Here's what I was going to say. No matter what, how many times you get punched in the face, you get hit on the arm, you somehow keep your mind, your eye on the effing prize.
I think what's great, to be honest, is that the officials, since the All-Star break, since Adam Silver got pissed off at the All-Star game, was like, all right, officials, let's allow a little more physicality. I think the Kings have been able to do a little more defensively. Agreed. Now, I think it's also on the flip side, heard Sabonis and Fox in some ways, sure, right? And Fox has been more and more frustrated lately. He's definitely got to fight through it. And Fox has played really well against Golden State. I think that's a great point. Like, it's a one-game thing. We don't know who the officials are yet, but it's also like at this point in the year, the people, the officials who are doing playing games and playoff games are the ones who have the highest grades. These are supposed to be the best of the best officials, and you hope you get a good crew. And like you said, you can't put the game in the hands of the officials.
No.
You have to just go out there and play, execute, play physical, set the tone early.
That's I was just about to say
that. I know that's so obvious.
Yes.
No. I know that's so obvious. But guess what? It hasn't been obvious with this team. Where that New Orleans game, after the game, Mike Brown the other night, Keegan Murray said, it's like, yeah, we just didn't come out like with that aggressiveness early, the physicality. I'm like, that needs to be a standard. And they brought that against the Suns. That mentality has to be there against the Warriors.
I don't know why. I always remember the Seattle Seahawks to me. Like, they would always set the tone early within their games of getting away with shit.
All right, Miss Pigskin.
No. And I'm talking about years
ago. The Legion
of
Boom, huh?
When I actually, like, would dig in and break it down. And I remember being like, what is it about? Like, why are they not getting flags thrown when they're holding somebody or when they're doing this, because from the start they say, this is the way we're going to play. So if you want to throw an effing flag every single play, every single snap, then sure, do your thing. But this is how we play. And I feel like if you're the Sacramento Kings and any team that goes into a play-in and or a postseason game, that's exactly that needs to be the mindset.
I think they've shown much more of that, especially with some of the changes to the rule. It's not even rule changes. It's just how the officials have gone about calling things lately. And I just think De'Aaron Fox has played with a different level of physicality defensively. And Keon Ellis out there, Keegan's ability, Sabonis works hard. Like, all those things matter. And then Davion off the bench. Like, I like how they're composed on that front.
And now Davion isn't that liability on the offensive end either, though.
Davion, to me, is another key. I keep going up and down the roster. Everyone's got to be great for this game. But last year, Davion had some really nice moments against Steph. And everyone goes back to Game 7 when Brown decided, hey, dude, they're not even guarding Davion. He's not being a threat. He's not knocking down shots. We got to go with Terrence Davis. And they did that. And then Steph roasted them. And it was a legendary performance. He drops 50 points. Davion Mitchell right now offensively is in a different headspace.
Yep.
His 3-point shooting improved drastically this year, especially since the All-Star break, where he shot over 40% from three after the break. From the corner this year, coming into the game today, he was shooting 47% on corner threes. That's good, because the Warriors' game plan is they are going to pack the paint. They are not going to let De'Aaron Fox kill them. They're not going to let Sabonis kill them inside. So Davion is going to get open looks. Now, will Davion hit them in a game like this? That's the question. But when he is starting to knock down shots, that's huge in what he does defensively. But on the flip side, I think Davion has shown more consistency when it comes to pushing the pace and running the offense. Last year, it looked like you were trying to fit him into a system that just didn't work.
Yeah.
He wasn't being decisive, wasn't always pushing like he needed to. It was a different type of system for him. And now I feel like he is beyond confident on that end.
He's shifted his mindset. And not only to be, like, even if he felt confident in himself last year, it's not only being confident, but it's truly understanding what he needed to be better at. And he is someone who enjoys learning, getting better, and doing all those things, and to actually put it into action is something else. And he has done that this season, especially as of late, with some of these opportunities that we have seen for him. So yeah, you want to talk about a little X factor, just being able to rely on him if you need to in a game like this.
You're going to need him.
Especially because I feel like you're not just talking about a whole bunch of long size arms, all these things when you're talking about the Pelicans when you look at this matchup. You look at someone like Pajemski coming off. You look at CP3. You look at I'm trying to think
about GP2.
Even you could even go to Steph. Like, these aren't the longest guys in the world where it's like, that is why he is not that is why he's going to be a liability out there. No. Now on the offensive end and the defensive end, he can do something more than he was capable of doing last year, especially in the postseason.
The one guy that I think everyone is going to be watching is Domantas Sabonis, who didn't have the best finish to the season. He bounced back against the Suns, but had that crucial turnover late. We know how that ended. Ugh. I said I wasn't going to talk a lot about the game today, but something with Sabonis today that jumped out to me.
Me too.
Okay.
I'm sure it's the
same
thing.
And for those who watched it, I'm sure it may have jumped out to you. Going back to the Phoenix game for a second, I referenced a play in the second half where Sabonis had a butt naked, wide open, free throw line jumper, Nurkic playing off of him.
Yep.
Sabonis thought about, looked around, and then decided he was going to try to play bully ball on Nurkic. And Nurkic said, nah, get out, right? Sabonis has to take the mid-range shot. The Golden State Warriors, if there's one thing they're going to do, especially against Sabonis, prove it. You won't shoot it against us. Because you didn't last year, and you hesitate this year. Today against the Blazers, I don't know if this was by design. I don't know if he just did it for his own confidence, but against this Blazers team, Rip City Remix, whatever you want to call this squad, he took 4 mid-range shots. He was 4-4 on mid-range shots.
Yep.
Now, it's one thing to do it in game 82 against the Blazers when you're up 30 points, you're feeling yourself. You're going up against a team that literally is playing with G League level players for the most part. Will you do it when the pressure is on the line? Will you do it when it matters most? In San Francisco, when the Kings almost beat him without Fox, he took a mid-range shot, made it to give the Kings the lead.
Yep.
Ultimately, no one remembers that because Clay hit the game winner right after that in the next play.
I remember.
This is the key.
Yeah.
He's going to get this shot.
Yep.
He cannot hesitate.
No.
He cannot hesitate.
And that's exactly what I was going to point out from today's game. And even it was interesting because Chelsea Gray pointed out, wow, look at him make that jumper. Look at him make the mid-range. And it was like, yeah. And then we started talking about how these are the things I hope you're practicing in today's game to be like, this is what I want to accomplish on Tuesday against whoever it's going to be, because whoever it's going to be is going to be a better team and they're going to pack the paint, and it ends up it's going to be the Golden State Warriors, who really effed you last year in the postseason, being like, shoot that shit, I dare you, and then you missed everything. You got to just find a way to find that confidence. Even if you miss the first three, keep taking it. If it's open, you got to make sure that you are still finding a way to show like, I'm not afraid, I don't have fear of shooting this mid-range shot. And even if you have a little bit of fear, take one dribble in and shoot it. Take a little, like, one dribble in, post up for a second, off one foot, little floater. I mean, we've seen that little step back, fade away floater from Domas. Him and Doug Christie have been working so hard on it, not only in the offseason, we've seen it him work on it at the end of practices. And then we saw, I think it was against like maybe Alperen Şengün or somebody, you know, one of those bigs where we're just like, yes, keep utilizing that. And in a playing game like this, you got to be willing, wanting, and confident to use moves like that.
And the Warriors know what's coming. They do know. They know Fox wants to get downhill. They know that, especially without Malik Monk, the Fox Sabonis pick and roll is going to be a thing. I would love to see more of Sabonis setting that screen really high so Fox can get downhill, because that's when it's really dangerous. When Sabonis can set a good screen, Fox gets going downhill, he's got the ability to weave around guys. He's been better finishing with contact, or he's been also pretty good at making the decisions in those situations to spray it out either for an open three or for guys to move the ball around. So that's going to be key, I think. They're really going to, if they're trying to find Sabonis on the roll, I think it's going to be really crowded down there. I should mention this too. Sabonis against the Warriors in four games this season, 17 points a game, 11.3 rebounds, 9.5 assists on 51% shooting. So he's put up some really strong numbers against him in those four matchups.
Are we going to see Trayce Jackson Jr.? I'm sorry, Trayce Jackson Davis on Sabonis or are we
going to be on Sabonis? Okay.
Not Draymond. You know what I mean?
Well, I think that's the thing. I think this is the Warriors. They'll mix it up before, for sure. That's interesting. I mean, I would imagine that will be the matchup and Draymond will help off.
Okay.
In any situation because they're really good at throwing some double teams. He's very, and that's one area, like Draymond can throw some aggressive double teams. But you're going to see some matchups where they do maybe go smaller with Draymond at the five, and he's comfortable with that too.
Well, I was going to say, he's definitely comfortable with that, and that's why when I look at someone like Jackson Davis, we didn't see him in those matchups against
Sabonis. He played two games. He wasn't playing like a ton.
That's what I'm saying. So, another interesting angle there. Because,
and he's, he's a talented rookie. He really rebounds well. He's really long. He stays vertical.
Yep.
And when you could say vertical and you're long, good shot blocker, just a very smart player. He's a lob threat. He gives you more than Looney. Looney last year was the guy that was taking body shots, and the Kings weren't, you know, in the games they lost, it was because they were having so much trouble rebounding, and they were getting crushed by the Warriors, who were getting so many second chance opportunities. And, you know, Looney's boxing the hell out of or Green's coming over to box out Sabonis. Looney's getting rebounds. They were just beyond physical with him.
Yeah. So, again, even those matchups, it's going to feel very new, I think, for both teams in that sense, which is a good thing for the Sacramento Kings, if you want to give them one good thing about the rosters looking different at this time of year.
The other guy, too, that didn't play to only play in two matchups with Trey Lyles because he missed some of the early matchups too. That's something, you know, Trey can be an asset for them. But yeah, I mean, it's going to come down to Fox and Sabonis. Fox against the Warriors this year in four games, 32 points a game. 32 points a game in those four games on 50% shooting, 41% from three. You're probably wondering, what did Malik Monk do? He averaged right around 12 a game against Golden State. So
He really picked up his game midway through the season, right? I mean, maybe even after All-Star break, I would have to look back at the exact timeline. But yeah, and that's when, you know, Monk really became that factor in all these other games. And not to say Malik Monk would be a huge factor in this game. And even Kevin Huerter, I know he was very disappointing in that postseason last year, but it was still someone who posed as a threat, someone who is moving without the basketball. And if you're these other guys on the Sacramento Kings who now have had enough opportunities later on in this season, you know what is needed from you. Just have the right mindset. I know the experience isn't there. So sometimes even that type of energy can change for some of these guys, but you just got to be confident.
You know, I think the other thing I was just thinking about too is just the Kings have been playing in some massive games lately, right? They've been so big down the stretch. They were playing, and it's not just, it was big for them. They played in games down the stretch that were big for their opponent.
Okay.
New York was trying to win because they want to move up in the standings. The Knicks got the number two seed. That win against Sacramento, yeah, that helped. They brought the playoff level intensity.
Yep.
OKC, they needed that win against the Kings, right?
Yep.
A good OKC team that, without that win against the Kings where they came back and got that W, they're not the number one seed in the West. They needed that game, that playoff level intensity. The Pelicans. That Pelicans team, right? They were trying to avoid the play-in. They had something to play for. They were fired up like, we got to get this game. And they came in and slapped the Kings around. And then the other night when the Phoenix Suns, where most people thought they were going to fold down the stretch with the toughest schedule in the NBA, they ended up, when it mattered most, coming up huge the last two games where they finish the game against the Kings.
Yeah.
In a game that let's be honest, they really had no business winning. And then today, they go on the road and slap around Minnesota. Huge game. That secured them the number six spot. My point being is the Kings, even though there have been a lot of disappointments during that stretch, they had some great moments against those teams. Can you take something away from this recently where it's like, dude, they have been fighting and grinding out in some competitive games where there's no switch to be turned on.
Sure.
Now. The switch should be on.
Yeah.
They have to be ready to go for Golden State.
You know, I think something that I mentioned, the word I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, you know, resiliency with this team and how we have seen it. I think their biggest flaw within that would be late game execution, right? Like you can have the energy to be resilient, to be a resilient team. But if you don't have the skill set for late game execution, well, you're probably going to screw up. And that's why with this game against the Golden State Warriors, how many times last year did we talk about you have to play a perfect game if you want to beat them? Like you have to.
Yeah.
You can't. You got to make sure you're capitalizing off their turnovers. You got to make sure that you are getting back when it comes to transition defense and not allowing them to have these very big deflating plays. Like that kind of shit, you just don't have any space for when it's one game like this. That is where I think the Kings, they can have the right mindset, but do they have the skill set?
There is so much on the line in this game because we just talk about advancing, right?
Yes.
Advancing. Ugh. But this is a chance to maybe end the Warriors as we know them.
I didn't even think about that.
Klay Thompson is a free agent after this year.
Jesus.
Okay. Yep. Who knows about Draymond's future? Steph's getting older. Chris Paul has got an expiring deal. All right. They had that chance last year to maybe really force him in a different way. They made the moves over the offseason. If you can end them now, they don't make the playoffs, and who the hell knows what happens? Look, it would feel amazing.
Deuce just wants to be this part of the story, the petty part of the story.
In that, if I was talking to the Kings, my message is that.
Please, Deuce. Oh, you're like Coach Nick. If you were in the locker room right now, what would you tell the team?
This is a chance for us with shovels. Dig that Warriors grave. Klay, you're in there.
Oh.
Draymond in there. Steph, you're in there. It's done. Chapter closed. And it would just be an opportunity for you. Am I still talking to the team right now? Because I just realized I started going back into show mode again.
You are supposed to still be talking to the team and get everyone engraved shovels.
Yeah, I'm coming in the locker room with everyone has a shovel.
And it has their name on it.
I'm Mike Brown. I'm coming in. Mike Brown, I'm coming in dressed as The Undertaker.
I love that.
Yeah. And I would come in as Paul Bearer with him. Like, he would be Undertaker. I'd be Paul Bearer.
Oh.
Ooh. Ooh. I think it's time for the dead man to end the war.
And they're like, hey, coach.
Who is this? Why is this
weirdo?
Why is he talking like that? Deuce? This is your opportunity to end them as we know it. You have to embrace this moment. Everyone can be, and I know there are fans today. There are those people right now going, it's over, man. We're going to lose to the Warriors at home.
Sure.
Blah, blah, blah. Dude, I get it. This year's felt different. Last year at this time, we knew they were playing the Golden State Warriors, but we were chilling because you had seven games and we're like, we were happy to be there. There's no happy to be there right now because you're not there. You're trying to fight to get in. Yeah. And to get there, you're going to have to earn it. And if the Kings are able to do this, if they're able to end the Warriors and then go and beat the Lakers or Pelicans and get a matchup with the Thunder, that would be an incredible accomplishment. But task one is, we don't give a shit about the four games from earlier this season. We don't give a shit about the last week. We are here. We can't control the fact that, oh, we missed those games against Detroit, Charlotte, Portland. Oh, that game against Washington. It's done.
It's done.
We move forward. I am focusing on how do we win this game. We're at home. They got to come to us.
Yep.
We have to show up. You got to show up like you showed up in game one last year. You got to show up like you showed up in game two last year. You got to actually bring the type of composure and intensity that you brought on the road game six when you went down to Chase Center and beat the Golden State Warriors. Everybody's on board. We can talk all day. Fox has to do this. Sabonis has to do this. No. What's HB going to do? What is Keon Ellis going to do in his first play-in postseason opportunity? How is Davion going to play now that he is in the rotation? Trey Lyles, can you give me some threes off the bench? Everybody on board. Let's go.
Give me a hell yeah.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Like, and you say everybody on
board. I'm here for a fight.
You say everybody on board. I'm talking even Kings fans, like, in that building, because there's going to be a lot of Golden State Warriors fans as well. We're 90 minutes away from each other. And if you are a Kings fan, it has to be one of those games where even if you're down and something bad is happening, you're still rooting on this team. Like, there is no room or time to be like, but they're not giving me anything to cheer for. They might need you. They might need that home court advantage.
Yeah.
That vibe, that energy. I don't know.
Morgan.
What?
The Warriors are trying to get a monkey off their back.
Okay.
They have never won a play-in game. They are 0-2 in the play-in.
And the Kings have never played a play-in game.
Yeah. Or, hey, actually, the Warriors are playing experience. It's different. I'm kidding. Yeah. How do I really feel about this matchup? Because I'm giving you the rah-rah, and I'm giving you like, yeah, they can. Of course the Kings can win this game. Of course they can. But of course they can lose it. This is what this team has been this year. This is going to be more challenging without Malik Monk. Just like these games recently have been more challenging without Malik Monk. What he is able to do, and you saw it last year against Golden State.
Yeah.
He had some big-time moments, even when he's not shooting the ball well, because of the swagger he brings. Because of his ability to handle, take some pressure off De'Aaron Fox. His ability to break down the defense, getting that pick-and-roll game with Sabonis, a little pocket pass, and Sabonis gets some easy looks. That's not there. You don't have that crutch. And you know what? Good. You've had to deal with that lately.
Yeah.
And now, I think in the last couple of games, and it's hard to wrap your head around some of this stuff when your team's losing. It's like, what's the end result, though? I feel like Keon is showing more than ever offensively, where when he was first coming in, it was like, I'm not really shooting. I'm just playing defense. Then it was like, oh, I'm going to take this three. Now, he's not hesitating from three. Last couple of games, he's putting the ball on the floor and going, okay, I need to step in and like hit, do something and get in the paint, you know? We're seeing that more of that from him. That gives me a little hope. Davion Mitchell, as I mentioned, his confidence. I think he is one of the big keys in this game is, can you create when Fox is not on the floor? Fox is going to play 40 minutes in this game. It's going to happen unless he's in foul trouble. He's going to have to play heavy minutes. In the Phoenix game, the Kings had a little lull when he was off the floor.
Yeah.
That's on Davion to keep that going, keep that chugging along so that the Kings can keep playing the best style of basketball they have, which is putting pressure on the defense.
It's just like Mike Brown said before the game even started, it's that next man up mentality. And the next man up mentality isn't just like filling a void. It is being more than filling a void. It is being your identity as a basketball player and what you've done and worked so hard for and to honestly even get these opportunities. What has led to you being in this position that you're in? Is it making shots? Is it playing defense? Is it doing all the extra little things? Is it being that rah-rah guy? Like, whatever it is, you have to do that your best on Tuesday. One game at a time.
Got to make shots, too. Got to make shots. I mean, there's been, it's really, this whole season's been obviously one of those roller coaster rides where just, God, just so up and down. And this last week has felt that way, too. But again, like, how can the Kings bring some of what they had in that Knicks game, where they played with some physicality and played with pace in that first
half? Yeah.
How can they bring some of that they did in OKC, a tough place to win? They lost. The Phoenix game. You can't ignore the good that happened in those games. It's just the same thing a really smart basketball mind once said. You can't accept in victory what you wouldn't accept in defeat.
Yeah.
But even when you lose, there's stuff that you could take from there, good and bad. Let's take some of that good and inject it into this matchup coming up on Tuesday night. TNT in the house. What do you think the vibe's going to be like that night?
I think it's going to be...
nervous energy? I feel like there's going to be some nervous energy from the fans.
I think it's going to be a combination of confident and nervous energy flowing through everyone's veins. Warriors fans are going to be in the building. God, I've just had the worst interactions with Warriors fans. Yeah. Like, can I give some love really quick? I would say, like, behind Kings fans, obviously. The next team, the next fan base that I'm like, you guys are great and just positive and nice and kind. Mavs fans, give it up. I'm not to the Mavs, to Mavs fans. And truly, I say this because I'm like, Warriors fans, if you come into the building, can you just, like, I don't know.
I'll say this.
Just, like, not be dicks.
I think part of it with Mavs fans, part of it is they said some nice things about us in the comments.
That's not the only thing. It's like, even when they talk to me, interact with me, there's basketball conversations. It's not, four rings! And I'm like, is everything okay? Like, I understand how good you are, the pieces you have on your team. But at the end of the day, I just like to talk basketball and be kind and, like, live in a space that's fun. Basketball's fun. Let's make it fun. If you're a Warriors fan out there and you're coming to the building, have fun. Like, no need to be a dick. Let's have fun.
I'm sure you just convince the person who taunts all the time, like, yo, Morgan, I never thought about that way. I'm going to start being nice now. Yeah. Good job.
I haven't.
Shout out to everyone hanging out with us, too, on a Sunday afternoon. Hit the thumbs up and subscribe. Here's my poll question for today.
Yeah.
So how will it go? Kings will get to the playoffs, lose to the Warriors in first play-in, lose to L.A. or New Orleans in the second play-in, and how about this race? 41% of the voters say the Kings will get to the playoffs, meaning they'll win two play-in games to get there. 35% say lose to the Warriors in the first play-in.
Okay.
And 25% of those who have voted say lose to L.A. or New Orleans in the second play-in.
Yikes. Yeah, it's not much easier after you try and get past the Warriors either.
I know this question doesn't completely matter, but just for fun.
Okay.
A would you rather for the chat. Would you rather the Kings beat the Warriors and then go beat the Lakers to get to the playoffs? Or would you rather them beat the Warriors and beat the Pelicans, who they have not beaten this year, to get to the playoffs?
Warriors-Lakers.
Without hesitation.
Yeah. Like, it's both those teams, both those organizations, those fan bases. Like, no. Like, I don't like mean, toxic people. I want to beat them just to be like, it's okay to lose. Like, hey, it's not the worst thing in the world. But either way, I would just enjoy winning. And even if it didn't go in that direction, even if, let's say, the Kings beat the Warriors and then you go to the second game and they end up losing, you know, I keep thinking about, like, what's my energy going to feel like? Because my energy last year.
Don't even talk about it. We're not there.
Okay.
Don't even talk about it. There's no point. Let's get through Tuesday.
I was on a high of high last year. And then even after the playoffs against the Warriors, it wasn't because of the game 7, like, that was a depressing way to lose, even though Steph dropping 50 on you. Sure. Depressing way to lose. It was like, oh, I was depressed. Like, the season is over. And I think that's the saddest part when I look at anything of this week, is being like, feeling that energy again. I'm just like, I'm not ready for it. And I hope the Kings aren't ready for it either.
Well, here's what Davion Mitchell had to say about the matchup with the Golden State Warriors. He sounds ready for it.
To see where you guys are now defensively compared to where you came from and you know how you might match up and be able to deploy that against the Warriors. Like, just give us your assessment of what you guys are doing well and on defense and how much that might change the game against the Warriors.
I think covering for one another. I think we're kind of on the string defensively, helping each other out. I mean, even if I get a backdoor cut, somebody beats me, so you have my teammate helping. I think over at the beginning of the year, if I got backdoor, it'll be like a layup or something easy like that. So I think covering one another, talking and being physical. I mean, we haven't played them since the beginning of the season, so it's going to be a lot different than what they see.
A lot different than what they've seen. He was also asked about the Game 7 rematch.
This is a one and done, so this is a different dynamic, you know, than playing a seven-game series. What are y'all thoughts about that, you know, and being focused just for that one game, knowing that, you know, it can go either way?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's one game. It's kind of anybody's game at that point. We just got to hit shots, play physical. We know that the ref's not going to call anything throughout that game just because of the rivalry we have between each other. But I think we'll be ready for it, man. I think that, coming in, knowing that we wanted to play the Warriors, we lost that game 7, we kind of tricked that one off. And then the next year we get to see him again. I mean, it's a fun moment.
Let's go.
Dig his vibes. I love that, like, after this game, there was not even – a single conversation of like, how'd you guys get the win tonight? It was more, what are you gonna do Tuesday against the Warriors?
I mean, it's you know, it just didn't matter, right?
It
would have been awful had they lost to the Blazers, but like, you knew it was when the Blazers started like one of 17 from three. I went, oh, okay, this is not even going to be like a cute, like, oh my God, this is a pesky team. The Kings just handled business. Do you want to hear some Domantas Sabonis?
Yeah.
Let's hear Sabonis talk about what lies ahead for the Sacramento Kings as they get ready to take on the Golden State Warriors.
What about that team now?
Haven't paid much attention lately because we've been focusing on these last couple games. But yeah, tomorrow we'll probably be in here a long time, you know, watching film and going over things. So I can answer that.
How much did that Game 7 loss linger with you? Or were you able to just erase it?
Yeah, I haven't thought about it much. You know, it's a long season, a new season, and yeah.
Do you look forward to a chance for sort of payback in a way, though?
We just need to win and move on. You know, that's my only thought.
You try to avoid sort of the drama of that matchup. It seems like because you guys have had so many matchups,
yeah,
but also so much sort of bad blood, you do try to stay away from the drama of it, though, don't you?
I mean, yeah, I guess. I don't know. I mean, we haven't thought. We just finished the game. You know, we were focused on Portland.
Yeah.
That's our matchup. I'll find out more stuff for you guys tomorrow. Our only goal is to win, because if you lose, the season's over. So that's all we're thinking about.
You obviously needed to come in here and take care of business today. Just what do you take away from this game and as you move forward?
You know, I'm just happy we came out, you know, and we just fought, played hard, you know, and got this win and got some rest.
There's a video from Sean Cunningham of Fox 40.
Love the way that it's not even to me, it's not even a void. It's like, I feel like his mentality is like, how was last season? I don't give a shit. Even though deep down, you know, everyone gives a shit. But like, I love it. Don't give them anything to talk about. Don't give them anything to go off of, because it's just like, nope.
You look.
Nope. He doesn't want to feel emotions.
If you don't get up for a win or go home game, no matter the opponent, then you're in the wrong business. I'm just there at the game, watching it, and getting ready to talk about it. I am going to be juiced for a win or go home game. And there is going to be something a little extra. I'm sorry. Like, they may not say it publicly, and that's fine. But you don't forget what happened last year.
That one, no way.
That one hurt. That one really hurt. Now, how do you respond, right? Are you locked in more mentally, or does it mess with you? Do you start having flashbacks to, I don't know, Sabonis passing up mid-range shots?
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, that's going to be the key. There's we talk about the physical component all the time and making shots. There is a mental component to big games.
Right now, even because I know we're doing a podcast tomorrow as well.
Tomorrow night, baby.
But right now, how I feel is I'm going to be happy no matter what happens. And I know that sounds so funny. It's like, ew, what? Who Hell is no. this dummy? No, I truly hated the way that I felt a couple of days ago in the last couple of losses for the Kings. I felt so down. I allowed something to completely bring me down where I am a very happy person. And it was the unknown. It was these negative energy. It was the morale of knowing that like Malik Monk isn't coming back tomorrow. Like all these things really got me down. And I really just like, as I keep thinking about all this and I just enjoy, I enjoy talking about this matchup so much. I enjoy talking about basketball so much that right now, we'll see even how I feel 24 hours from now. But right now, I'm just like, I'm excited no matter what happens.
Immediately after the game, I felt this, well, really last like 20 minutes of the Kings Blazers game, I felt a little heaviness in my chest just thinking about like, why? Like, out of everything, why does it have to be this? Why? Like, it has to be this. And you do think about, look, if you're able to do this and win, there's going to be an amazing feeling, and then you're going to have to quickly move on, everybody, and get ready for Friday night. And then if you win Friday night, you have to get ready for game one of a playoff series on Sunday. Like, buckle the hell up. And then you think about the pain of losing to this team ending your season for the second consecutive year. There's
happen.
A lot of factors, but hey, man, we're here. This is what it's about, playing competitive basketball. Let's hear some Mike Brown after the game, Morgan.
In a nutshell, I thought we came and we took care of business. We did what we could to control the little bit of control that we had over our destiny. We got it done, and now we know who we're going to play, and we just got to go out and execute and try to get a win.
Mike, what's your initial thoughts on having a rematch with the Warriors, a nice Game 7 type of game back here on Tuesday night at the Golden 1 Center?
No, we welcome anybody that's in front of us. We're just excited about an opportunity to play. And again, you know, situations like this, we as a group right now haven't been through. And so to go play one game right now, that's how I look at it, and swing for the fences, try to get a win. It's a great opportunity for us to go do it while trying to move on and growing in the same breath.
Mike, I guess when it comes to this win tonight, you know, maybe Portland didn't put out the best product to go up against, but how much did you guys kind of need some sort of positive momentum after the last, like, week and a half?
A ton. It's always good to get a win, especially when we've had a couple of heartbreak losses like we had in the past week and a half. And so to go out and you know, one of the things that we talked about was playing with the level of physicality at the beginning of the game and trying to retain that level or stay at that level the whole game, because when you play against a young team, if they see the ball go in the hole early on, their confidence is going to grow, and anything can happen during the course of a game if you give somebody belief or confidence, especially right off the bat. So for us to be able to go take care of business and keep our foot on the gas was much needed.
Mike, you've been trying for 2 years to get this team to a certain place defensively. This is probably the first time, you know, you're going to see the Warriors since you've kind of made a big step in that direction. How different could that make this matchup with them? And what, you know, do you anticipate you guys might be able to pose some different kind of problems for them than you have in the past?
Well, we're going to have to defend, because you know, they have a lot of firepower offensively, and the firepower offensively has won championships, not the championship, but championships. And so they're used to scoring with the best. You know, they're used to being in pressure situations. And, you know, for us, we can't have the mindset where we're going to go out and score 120, 125 points and think we're going to beat them that way, especially minus Malik and Kevin. So we have to bring a level of physicality to the game on the defense end of the floor, and then try to get easy opportunities in transition by getting stops. And hopefully our defense is to a point where our guys believe in it. I feel they do believe in it, but hopefully we can execute it for as close to 48 minutes as possible.
Coach, I don't mean to drag you into a rabbit hole of semantics, but do you consider being in the play-in tournament an accomplishment?
I think, you know, anything to get to the postseason is something to be excited about. Now, are we disappointed? Would we have preferred to finish first? Hell yeah. Second, yes. You know, any of that is better than finishing 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th. But for our guys to kind of go through what they went through and fight and continue, because we could have cashed it in a long time ago, and some of our losses down the stretch, you know, they were good teams, and our guys fought. They never threw the towel in, and, you know, it hurts, and I'm glad that it hurts. I'm glad that it bothered us, because that's usually when you grow the most. So anytime you can play after your last regular season game, it's a positive. But, it's, again, I'm not trying to say, hey, yes, this is the best thing ever, because we wanted more and we didn't get more, but it's okay. We're on the path or journey that we're on. Let's freaking go get it.
Let's freaking go get it, Mike. Let's freaking go get it. Let's freaking go get it. Come on, dude. Give me a little hit. Give me a little hit.
Let's go. Is that like a wrestling
thing? Yes. If you've not done it yet, hit the thumbs up and subscribe. All it does is help our channel grow. We should also mention that the podcast is always presented by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors. Check out trustnorthwest.com. You need windows? We've been telling you all year long. Why not trust the experts at Northwest? You can go to their showroom up in Rancho Cordova. Check out the windows for yourself. I say, go play with them. Open them, show them, try different locks. Just see what you like. And then you don't have to subcontract. Mm-hmm. The subcontract is like SoCal. No, they get the job done. Everything's in Sacramento. They got people who have been working there forever.
There are, I know it sounds funny, but there are so many different ways that you can open and close your windows, lock your windows. And it's like so fun being able to be like, wait, what? I have had these windows from the 1940s for how long now? Yeah, needed new windows, got new windows. And get this, starting on April 22nd, there's going to be a new deal where you can save up to $6,500. Buy three windows, get one free. That is right, a brand new deal with Northwest Exteriors. Get a free quote today.
Why, Morgan? Because it's simple. They are, Morgan.
Simply the best. Trust Northwest.
Appreciate their support all year long with the Deuce and Mo podcast. So the Kings win 46 games this year. 46 games after winning 48 last year. 48 was good enough to get you the number 3 seed last year.
Crazy.
What do you think 46 would have gotten you last year? I want to take a look at that. I don't even
what
remember.
What do I think? You're going to show me.
46 wins last year in the West would have been good enough to finish fourth, and you'd have home court advantage.
Dude, different year.
This year, you are in a win-or-go-home play-in game. Just for perfect, just to go over some of the standings, OKC finishes number one in the West, mm-hmm. going from play-in to number one. Dude, what a season for them.
Yeah.
And they're just getting started.
I mean, that's the thing. Oh, go on.
They won 57 games, 57 and 25. So no team in the West won 60 games. Denver finished at 57 and 25, but OKC had the tiebreaker. So Denver's number two. They will await the winner of whoever finishes in the seventh spot. Then you've got Minnesota losing at home today.
Mm.
Oh, my goodness. Heartbreaking. To the Suns, who destroyed them, finishing the year winning three in a row. So Minnesota falls to the number three seed. We got Minnesota, Phoenix, round one. That's also interesting because these teams just played today.
I know.
And so Phoenix, I mean, do they go back home to Phoenix for a little bit, or they just stay in Minnesota? I'm guessing they might go back and then come back
get
later
some
in the week.
Shit, yeah, and then come back. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the 4-5 matchup will be Clippers, Mavericks, dude. How insane is that?
It's wild. It is so this entire postseason, no matter what happens, is going to be so fun. I know if you're a Kings fan, you're like, no, it's only going to be fun if they're in it. I get that, but if you're an NBA fan, like, this shit is so fun. And just to remind everybody, Deuce and I will be here along the entire ride of all of these NBA games, all the play-in games, all the playoff games, no matter who is playing.
Dude, that Minnesota-Phoenix series is going to be a ton of fun. I can't wait to... I mean, all the series look like they're going to be epic. Then you go to the East. Of course, Boston finishes with the best record in the NBA, 64-18. They won the East by 14 games. The Knicks were the number two seed, winning 50 games, 50-32. Also, on the Knicks front real fast, think about the injuries they had.
I know.
Julius Randle's not there.
Yep.
Like, OG missed time. Mitchell Robinson missed time. Jalen Brunson is an absolute freak. He's not going to win MVP, but he should definitely get some votes because he has carried this team to another level. For them to finish in the number two spot is big time shit.
And it's not just because the East is not as good as the West. Like, if you're in the NBA, it's still hard to win night in and night out. And for them to be in that second spot, it's pretty impressive. And that is why any team in the Western Conference I look at, I'm just, like, very impressed with.
The Bucks, of course, Giannis is out right now. Who knows what his status is going to be going forward. But the Bucks finished with the number three spot. I didn't see the latest update. Like, did they give a timetable yet on Giannis's injury?
The calf?
Yeah. It's a timetable.
I didn't see anything. But, I mean, I wasn't looking for it either.
Wondering if someone in the chat saw.
Come on, somebody in the chat. I'll start saying.
Because the last I saw was he's missing the rest of the regular season. Anyway. Whatever, they have to play in the first round the Indiana Pacers, who finish number six. Indiana won 47 games, 47-35, and have they had their way with the Bucks or what this year? So it's going to be interesting to see that matchup. And then Cleveland and Orlando will square off in the 4-5 matchup. In the play-in, Chicago and Atlanta play the 9-10 matchup. You want to compare that for a second? Chicago 39-43 in the ninth spot. Atlanta gave up 157 points today to the Pacers. They've lost six in a row. They're 36-46. They would be in the play-in.
What I will say is that I remember when the play-in was first initiated, everyone was talking about, like, and I had brought up this point as well, like, you don't want to reward losing teams. You don't want to reward losing and still have a chance to make the postseason. But when you look at these squads, it's not just about the win-loss column. It is what it is over there. I mean, the Eastern Conference and the competition and some of the players and how some teams are more stacked than others, it's just different in that conference.
So Tuesday, you have the West playing. You've got the play-in between the Pelicans and Lakers and the nightcap of Kings and Warriors. The East will play later in the week. We mentioned the Bulls and Hawks. Then you've got the Sixers and Heat in that 7-8 matchup. The Sixers in the year winners of 8 in a row. They finish, think about that. You win 8 in a row, but because of the tiebreaker situation with Orlando and Indiana, you fall to the 7th spot. Yep. But they'll be at home taking on the Miami Heat. Crazy ass shit.
Yes.
Yeah, the more I talk about Kings Warriors, the more excited I get. I think I went from being nervous to being upset. I think I'm in the process now of acceptance. This is what's in front of us now, and we can think all the bad things we want, but at 7:10 on Tuesday night, we're tossing that ball up. We're playing basketball.
Hey, you've been a wave of emotions today. I've seen you since the beginning of the day to now. You're doing great, bud. You're doing great.
Well, I woke up, for full transparency, woke up this morning, and then by the time I got to the arena, I don't know if it's because it was still gray outside, I was feeling that it was game 82, and I was just reflecting, like, the season's, like, over, and I don't know who they're playing coming up now. What the hell is going to happen? Could this be the final time I'm at Golden 1 Center this year? And, you know, you just don't want to take things for granted. And I felt like a little down. The game itself was whatever. It was fun to see the Kings score some points or some good things that happened in the game. But ultimately, I went through the wave of emotion of, all right, playing the Warriors now. This is what it is. And so it's not going to be easy. I don't even know if I can make a prediction at this point. You know, I think last year I was worried. I thought the Warriors were going to beat the Kings in that series. I said my biggest fear playing the Warriors is that you could take them to game seven and Steph could drop 50 on you. I said that before the series started. No joke. And that's it. What ended up happening? I didn't think I was going to nail it like that, but I did. There's no way you can walk into Tuesday night as a Kings fan and be like, you know what? I feel great. Like, look, you are banged up. Mm-hmm. You haven't played great basketball recently. There have been moments of it, and the Warriors are playing some of their best basketball they played this year, and it's the Warriors. It's Steph Curry in a must-win situation for them. You know, we keep talking about, oh, the Kings, it's win or go home for them. It's win or go home for the Warriors.
Yep.
Steph Curry knows what's on the line. You know what I said earlier, too, about this?
What did you say?
I was talking to you about, like, you can end the Warriors as we know them.
Yeah.
They're thinking about that. The Golden State Warriors are like, we want to keep going with this. This could be Klay's last ride.
Right. Right.
This could be their final hoorah together.
This is what I feel like some of the older teams in the Western Conference specifically their mindset is, look, if we can't get in the top six, then we'll do what we need to do in these elimination games, in these win or go home games. We'll get it done. We've been here before, and then we'll get to a playoff series. And, like, that's their mindset, and I completely understand it. They've been there before. Four rings, you know, like all the things you want to say. I get it, and it could happen. And, Deuce, I know we don't have a rock and soul player of the game, because the game, it was what it was. But I will tell you guys this. If you're planning on going, if you're not even going to the play-in game, but you're like, I want to be around the action. I want to be around Doko and everywhere else in the city. Make sure you check out Rock and Soul Diner. It's just 6 blocks away from the arena and from that area.
Good
and
pregame spot.
That's what I was going to say. You get 25% off drinks and apps. So make sure to check it out.
Give me a hell yeah.
We got a super chat today from a Warriors fan.
Oh.
Donating $10 saying, lifelong Dubs fan, shouting out, four rings is cringe. Love you guys, even though you are the opposition.
Oh, that is the nicest, most rational Warriors fan I've ever met. Thank you. And good luck to you, too.
Also in the live chat, PK says, the play-in was such a great damn idea. Yeah, I know Morgan was just talking about that, too, how people felt mixed about it. I definitely was, too. Hey, if there was no play-in, the Kings would not be in the playoffs because they would have finished ninth.
Oh, you're right.
Because of what happened. We would have walked in today going, well, you can get the eighth. You just need the Pelicans to win. And you just.
Oh, my God.
Right? We would be talking right now about the end of the season. But because of the play-in, you live another day. And that's all you want.
Yeah.
Live another day.
Hell yeah.
We're going to be live again tomorrow night, which for people listening later will be Monday night. What do you think about 7 p.m.?
I'm fine with that.
Does 7 p.m.
Let's
sound
do,
good?
This yeah. There's no games.
There's no games.
Else.
There's no NBA games going on that night. We'll do probably a 7 p.m. Podcast. And I think we're going to have an in-studio guest if it all works out.
Ooh, okay. If it works out, they'll be here.
I'll just promote it anyway.
Really?
It was their idea.
It okay.
ESPN's Kendra Andrews covers the NBA, covers the Golden State Warriors. She's going to be in town. So, of course, we got to have her in. We'll talk to her about the Warriors. We'll talk to you guys. Maybe take some calls, too, because it's preview time. We are getting ready for the biggest game of the season. How many times have we said that this year? Oh, this is the biggest game of the year. This is the biggest game. Or we've said, this is a must win. No. This is a must win. There's no tomorrow.
Well, there's tomorrow, but then if you don't win Tuesday, there is no tomorrow. Yep. Correct.
Oh, my God. All right. Final thoughts. Or do you want to hang out longer?
No.
I can hang longer.
No. Because hey, kiddo.
Busy day tomorrow. We got Kings practice we'll be going to tomorrow. A little Carlin rehab tomorrow. Carlin's got to work on those back legs. And then we've got the podcast.
Yeah. So, final thoughts for today. Love ending the regular season.
Moment of the game, Shrewd Jewelers moment of the game, by the way. Chris Webber lighting the beam tonight. Today.
Such a vibe.
Chris Webber. I love C-Web.
I am so with you. I felt, it's like Chelsea Gray said at, during post game. The vibes were good. And then Chris Webber, our Sharif Jewelers moment of the game, lighting the beam for it to go outside. I always try to explain it on the post game. I'm like, and there it goes through the building, out the roof, and outside.
Bro, you can't see it right now. It's a little light out.
Facts. Final thoughts.
Anyway, go ahead.
You know, I'm so thankful for obviously all of this, but I'm just so thankful to be watching competitive basketball at the end of a season once again, even if they fall short of everyone's expectations and what they want or what you might want them to be. Always when it comes to sports, it's just so not real life. It's supposed to be an escape. It's supposed to be fun. So enjoy the ups and downs, all the things, the competitive nature. Enjoy the feeling of the nerves going into this game against the Golden State Warriors. Enjoy every single one of these emotions that are coming to you before you go to bed each night, before Tuesday night. That's tonight and Monday night. So these next two nights, enjoy all those emotions and wake up happy on Tuesday because it's going to be a fun ride.
Just embrace the journey. Embrace it. My final thought.
Yeah.
Oh, just enjoy it. I swear, if I'm here Tuesday night doing a little.
Why?
I want that.
We all want that, but like.
Anyway, yeah, dude, here we are. I think you just said it. Just embrace what lies ahead. The season happened. And we're going to have all offseason dissect. Oh, what went wrong? And what moves need to be made? And this or that. Dude, those conversations will happen. But now, the sole focus is Tuesday night. TNT is in the house. Ooh. It's going to be crazy. NBC Sports California will be live before and after the games. The games will not be on locally on NBC Sports California for the play-in. The play-in, not going to be on local TV. It'll be on TNT. But NBC Sports California will have you covered with Kings Live pregame and postgame coverage before the game and immediately after the game, so you can still get some local coverage. And we will be live after all the games. There's multiple. But at least Tuesday nights.
Yep.
Let's have some fun. Let's do this. We'll be back Monday night. We love you guys, but we got to go.
You all have a wonderful rest of your night. Thanks for being here. See ya!
Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, they tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, the podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.